Meantime, just days after the FDA approved emergency use of Gilead's remdesivir to treat COVID-19, the company says it's donating its entire supply to the government. I want to get over to Meg Terrell, who joins us now with more on that story. Meg.
Well, good morning, Andrew. And they say that the distribution of that drug will begin as soon as this week. We also learned, though, that in the FDA's letter to Gilead granting that emergency use authorization for remdesivir, the government said it would control the distribution of the drug. And this is surprising a lot of people in the biotechnology world. Leerink's Jeff Porges, an analyst who's covered the industry for a long time, saying, quote, the aggressive stance taken by the federal government in terms of controlling the supply and distribution of this medicine is unprecedented in our history of the industry, citing Tamiflu, HIV, vaccine shortages. Never, he said, have they seen this kind of control by the government before. And that issue is, of course, the supply of the drug. It's a very complex drug to manufacture, and there is limited supply right now. Gilead says it has about 1.5 million vials currently, which is about 140,000 treatment courses at the longer 10-day length of dosing, or about 250,000 for a 5-day course. And this is how they see ramping that up throughout this year. But for right now, supply is constrained, and that's going to become a question for what happens to other countries as they start to approve this drug as well. It's already under review in Europe, and according to a report in the Nikkei, the drug might be approved in Japan as soon as this week. And so there are questions about whether the drug will be available outside the U.S. as the U.S. controls the supply. I talked with Mike Osterholm at the University of Minnesota about this over the weekend, and he pointed out it could be a problem if down the line vaccines and drugs that the U.S. needs are developed elsewhere. He said, however we handle our own drugs and vaccines will in part determine how the rest of the world supports us with whatever drugs or vaccines they develop. And guys, analysts are modeling this to show that with the initial supply, only U.S. patients will be able to be covered. So it's one of the beginnings of the geopolitical arguments around access to these drugs. Guys.
Hey, Meg, I have two questions. One geopolitical, but one very domestic, which is to say that if we have, I think right now on average, about 2,000 deaths a day still, and Scott Gottlieb talked about this yesterday on Face the Nation, how much, and we're going to have him later on our broadcast to talk more about this, but how much does putting remdesivir in the hands of these hospitals, how much do you think that's going to change that number in terms of turning that dial?
We have to hope that it will. And in the results we saw from the NIH study, there was a trend toward a mortality benefit, but it wasn't statistically significant yet. And so what they saw is that in that trial of 1,000 patients, those getting remdesivir, 8% passed away versus 11% on placebo. But again, it didn't hit that statistical significance cutoff. So we're going to have to see if we can determine from these data whether it does have an impact on mortality.
Right. And then my geopolitical question was, it was always my understanding that there were certain drugs, and I don't know if it's true of remdesivir, but in terms of vaccines and others, when we do need to manufacture this and manufacture at scale and capacity, we can't just do it in the United States. We're going to need to use the facilities of places like India and elsewhere. And so how does this decision change, you think, that dynamic, even just the ability to manufacture some of these drugs? And are there other drugs out there that we're going to want that are in development right now that could be at risk or jeopardy in terms of at risk to our ability to get access to them in the future?
Well, it's a key question and something we're already seeing play out because so much of the raw materials that go into our medicines come from China and India. And I believe that the supply chain for remdesivir is pretty complex and probably goes through several countries already. So it is not encapsulated in the United States. And so it's going through multiple countries already to get finished. And while it may be finished here right now, at some point down the line, it probably will be finished in multiple places around the world. And that's when we'll have more supply. But right now, the supply is constrained. And so all of these questions you're asking are very important, not just for this drug, but for others that depend on the rest of the world for the supply chain as well.
That's why it's so important, amen, to not only hear the word, but also be a doer. Because as we begin to do the word, we begin to experience the word.
We go on the wall. I'm keeping the armor on. We go on the wall. As soon as you're on the home, we go on the wall. The spiritual army strong. We go on the wall. Cause Jesus is on the wall. I'm keeping the armor on. We go on the wall. As soon as you're on the home, we go on the wall. The spiritual army strong. We go on the wall.
It's straight A.
Cause Jesus. on the throne.
Hey, Jesus is on the throne, and I got his armor on. I'm in the heavenlies, up in my father's zone. Your only goal should be to be your father's clone. So keep your body holy, cause it is your father's home. We going to war, we going to war. The helmet will guard your dome. His sword is real strong, so sharp it appears through the bone. I can't do nothing on my own. A lot I cannot condone. I can feel this fire in me. I'm hot like the pot is on. If you can't stand the heat, go get a fan. He holding us up with his righteous right hand. A spirit it quicken, quicker than sand. Now we are sealed with a heavenly brand. Pleading the blood again and again. Canceling all the enemy's plans. We are army taking a stand. We are army taking a stand. It's not a game, boy, but we are advanced. The devil big man. We stumping his head. Capture his land. Take down his flag. Boast on the Lord. On me I can't brag. God is sovereign and none you can have. Commune with my brothers, breaking the bread, plowing the hearts, breaking through bad, sowing the word, raising the dead.
We going to war, I'm keeping the armor on. We going to war, as soon as your honor home. We going to war, the spiritual army strong. We going to war, cause Jesus is on the throne. We going to war, I'm keeping the armor. Jacob, I be riding for him. We are in his body, though a body we reside in one. If you don't got a Bible, better hurry up and find you one. In order to survive, you must know God when the fire comes. Born in the womb, but most of y'all are gonna die in one. Perish due to lack of knowledge, knowledge of the highest one. Holy Ghost standing, his commandments, I delight in them. My lamp is full of oil, and all my brothers, I see light in them. Every seed, I'm finna sow. We are like trees, we gotta grow. This is the ark, this ain't a boat. As long as we save, we gonna float. He gave up his life, then he gave up the ghost. I'm telling you, wisdom is better than gold. The day that we live in here, nobody knows. The only thing known is God in control.
We going to war,
I'm keeping the armor on. We going to war, as soon as your honor home. We going to war, the spiritual army strong. We going to war, cause Jesus is on the throne. We going to war, I'm keeping the armor.
Understand him more clearly. See, that's the difference between just having head knowledge and having experiential knowledge, meaning you're experiencing God. You don't just have head knowledge, but you actually know God. You're intimate with God in your suffering and in your prayer time.
Welcome to another edition of Mowat Radio. It's May 14th, 1355. And deal what I'm talking about. Hey, the Dow's up. S&P's up. But the NASDAQ's down. Man, what did they got to say about anything? I wonder who the heavy hitters are. I don't really know. I know Apple just came out with their new iPhone, right? You know, they part of the NASDAQ. But that don't mean that they doing bad just because NASDAQ doing bad. But I'm just saying, though. You know, there's a lot of big tech companies that's part of the NASDAQ. You know, they're just stocks for anybody that care. Man, the government said that they got this cure, right? They finna start, you know. Well, I don't want to say that they finna start because we know New York got it. See what I'm saying? I know they got a strategic plan, so we ain't got to worry about it, y'all. We ain't got to worry about that. Government got it straight. Hey, check this out, though. This one that we do got to worry about, though. McDonald's said they going to start cleaning their bathrooms every 30 minutes. Real shit. That's what they said, anyway. I don't believe it. I don't even eat at McDonald's, but anytime I go to McDonald's, you know. Damn, when the last time I actually been? Man, shit, I've been to the drive-thru a couple times, but, shit. Not for me, but, you know, once out there, motherfucker, take a piss. You ain't gonna be going inside there, take no piss no more. They already looking at you crazy because you ain't buying it, right? That's crazy, man. But, hey, they said they were gonna keep them clean, so I believe it. At least they give me a reason not to believe it. I already don't believe it, but you know what I'm saying. They said they're going to clean the kiosks. I guess they're going to clean the tables, too. They're going to stop feeding that bullshit. They might as well. All that shit going to cure corona. But the thing is, the meat supplying companies, you see what I'm saying? They said that the meat was infected anyway. So, you know, you can do everything inside of the restaurant to keep the restaurant clean from people spreading corona, but if they're contracting corona from the shit that you're selling, then, you know what I'm saying, they call that infringing on the nigga business, though. You see what I'm talking about? That's the way I tell you, you know. But the lawyer said that he worked with no one other mine, right? So I hope that he worked with mine. Cause I want to use it. I don't want to lose it. You know what I'm talking about? But, man, it's a global depression. Coming out with this drug, I'm sure it's going to be more than just this, but coming out with the drug, you see what I'm saying? Motherfucking t-shirt company. See what I'm saying? They say that they don't want you to get the cotton mask because the cotton is spreading the corona also. But the same people that came up with the cure for the shit is the same people that make fucking t-shirts. I'm just saying, man. Goddamn. Am I the only one that see this shit? I don't know, man. Then again, I might just be one of the only ones that see this shit. But to everybody else that see this shit, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? Let's thank the Lord for the day, the moment, and the hour, because I truly do thank him for you. Honestly, I do. Because without you, man, I'd be the only one going through it, you feel me? Like in our realness, and that's the thing that brings us closer together because we can see through so much bullshit. Because the Lord works with the renewing of the mind. You see, you have to plant new seeds in your mind in order to understand what could be going through mine or somebody else. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, ideas are being planted every day, all day. But they want to control the ideas that are being planted because they want to control the ideas that are being planted. If that makes any sense. See, the Lord introduced us when you read the word, you get introduced to a new thought process. And it could be something that you have been living through your entire life. And what has been told to you can very well accommodate that thought process. But then again, when you jump into that word and the Lord been that gave you something and it been that opened up your mind to something totally different, it weigh on you. See what I'm saying? Like, I remember just reading a book of Proverbs. For anybody that is new, I would recommend reading a book of Proverbs. That's a book that you can read, and I tell you, you go outside and that shit will change your life. I recommend the King James Version because it has a grander vocabulary, which means that the words are more lucrative. See what I'm saying? I can profit from it. I can take that word, I can look it up, see what it means. I can look at the antonyms, synonyms. I can look them up, see what they mean. Nouns, verbs, adverbs, prejudice, all that shit. See what I'm saying? And I get a grander understanding of not just that word, but so many more words. Because I know so many words, and I haven't even used those words in so long that when I try to use it, I know how to pronounce it in my head, but I ain't pronounced it in so long, it just can't roll off the tongue. You see, sometimes you forget what the word is. You mean, it mean. You gotta go back and review it again. You know, I've done that with even books in the Bible, and not just books in the Bible, but books that were taken out of the Bible that are excluded from the Bible. They're just spiritual books. You know, I go back and I read things. Just learning how to comprehend what I read every time I pick up a new read. It's always something new in it, even if it's something that I visited before. You see what I'm saying? Because I could have overlooked something. You know, I'm just reaching. You see what I'm saying? Trying to connect dots. But, hey, it's a lot of stuff coming our way, right? But, hey, I got some things that I want to share with you. So, I ain't going to tarry too long. Let's go ahead and get into the matter. Big shots out to my boy Trey King, man. For real, I ain't got him on his show and then, but man, said, I don't want to tear it through, you know what I'm saying? But nigga, you be hitting them dots, boy. Feel me? Goddamn, boy, you the only nigga I know that be goddamn knocking nails in with a screwdriver, boy. I'm telling you. That nigga drive that shit home if you did what I'm saying. I'm just being funny. The nigga use a helmet. I'm sure he know what he doing. Move out radio.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Matte.
For the rest of the hour, we're joined by Ralph Nader, consumer advocate, corporate critic, attorney, author, activist, and former presidential candidate. For well over four decades, Ralph has helped us drive safer cars, eat healthier food, breathe better air, drink cleaner water, and work in safer environments. His devotion to political reform and citizens' activism has fueled a number of critical policy victories in the creation of generations of watchdogs and activists to carry them forward.
Ralph Nader came to prominence in the early 60s when he began to take on powerful corporations and work with local activists on their campaigns, putting himself on the map in 1965 with his book Unsafe at Any Speed, The Design and Dangers of the American Automobile. In this interview from that same year, Nader pointed out the safety flaws of General Motors' Chevrolet Corvair.
What aggravates the problem is that the rear wheels of the Corvair begin to tuck under. And as they tuck under, the angle of tuck under is called camber. And as they tuck under, it can go from 3 or 4 degrees camber to 11 degrees camber almost in an instant. And when that happens, nobody can control the Corvair.
Well, then surely they did the right thing. They found out there was something wrong with the car and they fixed it.
Yes. The question is, why did it take them 4 years to find out? This is my point. Either it's sheer callousness or indifference, or they don't bother to find out how their cars behave.
Ralph Nader's expose led to the first of a number of federal laws bearing his imprint, the 1966 National Traffic and Motor Vehicle Safety Act. As he moved on to public and environmental health, Nader would help spur landmark bills, including the Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974 and the creation of federal regulatory agencies such as the Environmental Protection Agency. Meanwhile, Nader also helped found a number of nonprofit organizations dedicated to the common good, including the Public Interest Research Group, or PIRG, and Public Citizen.
In recent years, Ralph Nader's name has become synonymous with challenging the nation's two-party political system. He ran for president in 1996 and 2000 as a candidate in the Green Party ticket, again in 2004 and 2008 as an independent. Ralph Nader is just out with a new book. It's his columns called Told You So, the big book of weekly columns. It's an anthology collecting Nader's weekly opinion pieces. Throughout, Nader tackles the major political issues of our time while offering practical solutions rooted in collective organizing. Ralph Nader joins us for the first time in our studios, the greenest TV, radio, internet studios in the country. Welcome, Ralph.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. So the title, Told You So?
Yes, I've been impressed by how all the warmongers and the false predictors get promoted, and they get on op-ed pages, and they get jobs after they have failed in the U.S. government. We know Robert Rubin and Larry Summers and Wolfowitz and Cheney and all these people. And we don't recognize people who have predicted accurately, who have spotted problems arising. As we should. And so I decided to say, told you so. How's it? We told Nixon about the rise of corporate crime. We warned about the Iraq War and the consequences. We made sure that the consequences of repealing Glass-Steagall were going to lead to huge speculation and serious problems on Wall Street for trillions of dollars of workers' money. And again and again and again. And there's something wrong with a society that marginalizes in so many ways the people who are right, the people who predicted right, who cautioned, who sent up the warning signals to the American people, and the people who got us into Iraq and warmongering and militarism and corporatism. They're the ones who get applauded. They're the ones who get $100,000 speeches, like Bush is getting, $150,000. So I decided to throw down the gauntlet and say, told you so.
Ralph, can you compare our capacity for taking on corporate crime, one of your big issues, from when you first started out to today? Have we developed any improved regulatory framework to tackle the crimes of corporations?
No, the corporate criminals have overrun the government. The Justice Department now has expanded Bush's practice of deferred prosecution. So Attorney General Holder and President Obama now are basically saying to corporate crooks, you don't have to admit, you don't have to deny culpability, we'll defer prosecution, just pay a fine that's a fraction of the cost of doing business. So the drug companies may pay individually when they're caught $500 million, $1 billion, but they've gained numerous billions of dollars. Nobody goes to jail. No corporate charters are pulled. It's basically above the law.
Ralph, in the past few months, fast food workers across the country have walked off the job in a bid for a higher minimum wage. They're seeking $15 an hour and the right to unionize without harassment. The one-day strikes have hit seven cities: Seattle, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., Detroit, St. Louis, Chicago, and New York City. This is organizer Jennifer Epps Addison of the group Citizens Action of Wisconsin.
Fast food and retail, it's one of the fastest growing industries. It's one of the most profitable, with $200 billion in profits. And yet these are the lowest paid workers in our economy. They're standing up and saying our families can't survive on $7.25 an hour.
Rob, this is a big issue of yours, seeking a higher minimum wage. Your thoughts on this fast food strike?
Yeah, it's a good start. And we've got to show the American people it's easier than they think to turn the country around in many ways. And let's start with the lowest bar of all. 30 million workers in this country are making less today than that workers made in 1968, inflation adjusted. These are the workers who clean up after us, grow our food, service in the stores, take care of our ailing grandparents. Just let that figure sink in. These are the workers that are most underemployed, underinsured. They work in often the most dangerous situations. They don't have unions. And the question is our society so inert, is our society so surrendering of any kind of civic sovereignty that we cannot get a minimum wage equal to 1968 that's supported, by the way, by 70% of the people, including Rick Santorum, and until last year, Mitt Romney? That's how basic it is. So we have a president saying in 2008, when he was campaigning, he wants $9.50 by 2011, and now he's down to $9 by 2016. The Democrats are sitting on inadequate bills in the House and Senate and not really pushing the Republicans. So here's what we're trying to do. August is the big recess where the members of Congress go back home. So we want people to get 300 to 400 signatures on a summons by the people back home, summoning the Congress people and the senators to exclusive town meetings in each district. And those of you who are watching or listening to this program and want to show how to turn this around, it's a great economic stimulus, by the way, to give people who desperately need the necessities of life more money. If you want to take 30 million people up to $10.50 an hour, which catches up barely with 1968, even though the worker productivity has doubled, by the way, since then, just go to timeforaraise.org. Remember, this is, if we cannot do this, it's doubtful we can change anything in this country. Timeforaraise.org, you'll get a whereas, very well done summons that you can go around and get people to sign. It'll be the easiest petition you'll probably ever get to sign to the congressperson or the senator saying, in August, in a municipal building or wherever, we want you to show up and we're going to let you know what we want you to do. That's why I called it a summons instead of a petition.
Let's go to President Obama in February in his State of the Union address, calling on Congress to raise the minimum wage to $9 an hour from $7.25 and to automatically adjust it with inflation.
Tonight, let's declare that in the wealthiest nation on earth, no one who works full-time should have to live in poverty, and raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour. We should be able to get that done. This single step would raise the incomes of millions of working families. It could mean the difference between groceries or the food bank, rent or eviction, scraping by or finally getting ahead. For businesses across the country, it would mean customers with more money in their pockets. And a whole lot of folks out there would probably need less help from government. In fact, working folks shouldn't have to wait year after year for the minimum wage to go up, while CEO pay has never been higher. So here's an idea that Governor Romney and I actually agreed on last year. Let's tie the minimum wage to the cost of living so that it finally becomes a wage you can live on.
So that's President Obama in February in a State of the Union address. Yeah. Isn't that what you're calling for?
Yeah. Has there been a bigger con man in the White House than Barack Obama? He hasn't lifted a finger since he made those statements. And when he made the statements in the 2008 campaign, he said nothing for 4 years on raising the minimum wage. He made no pressure on Congress. He hasn't even unleashed the people in his own White House on this issue.
Well, what can he do?
What can you do? He can barnstorm it. That's what the bully pulpit is about. He can go up to Congress. He can get George Miller and Senator Harkin, who have introduced weak minimum wage increase bills, to have dynamic hearings where he puts a face on all these people who can't even make as much as the workers made in 1968. Look at the difference here. There are 1 million Walmart workers who are making less today than Walmart workers made in 1968, inflation adjusted, while the boss of Walmart is making $11,000 an hour, you know, plus benefits. Two-thirds of all low-income workers are hired by these big companies like McDonald's and Burger King and Walmart, and the bosses are making anywhere from $10 to $20 million a year. Now, what does that do to the normative juices of the American people? I mean, where's the indignation here? I mean, why did they take it? They don't have to take it. They can hit the streets. They can march. They can turn this around. How come they hit the streets in these third-world countries? I mean, isn't it important for the livelihood? They can't even get the necessities of life for their children. The cruelty is unbelievable here. We are an advanced third world country. We have great military equipment and science and technology. Half of the people in this country are poor. They can't even pay their bills. They're deep in debt. And so people sitting around saying, oh, the powers that be, you know, what we can't do anything. What do you mean they can't do anything? They can do everything. They're the sovereign. We don't have we, the corporation, to beginning of the Constitution. We have we, the people. So, timeforaraise.org. Let's get it done in August. Let's move. You get a nice summons. You go around. You get your friends and neighbors. Bring that member back home in a town hall or wherever for an exclusive meeting on the minimum wage.
We're going to break, then come back to Ralph Nader. His new book is called Told You So. Stay with us.
Figured I'd use their music finna transition to part two, so you can hear what happens after they come out of the break, and I'm going to come out for the break. You dig? More Out Radio.
We're on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté. Our guest is Ralph Nader. Let's go to a comment of the Apple CEO, Tim Cook, in response to a Senate report that accused his company of massive tax-dodging scheme that saved tens of billions of dollars. The report describes a massive web of affiliates spanning several continents that were used to hide the company's profits, even in countries where Apple had no employees. Overall, Apple avoided paying U.S. taxes on $44 billion over a three-year period. This is Apple CEO Tim Cook speaking before the Senate hearing last month.
Apple has become the largest corporate income taxpayer in America. Last year, our U.S. federal cash effective tax rate was 30.5%, and we paid nearly $6 billion in cash to the U.S. Treasury. That's more than $16 million each day. And we expect to pay even more this year.
That was Apple CEO Tim Cook. Ralph Nader, your response.
It's very simple. The Apple's parked a huge percentage of its profits in tax havens abroad. So they can say the ones that they haven't parked in this country pay a higher tax rate. But basically, Apple is one of many giant U.S. corporations who benefited from subsidies by the government, research and development, grew to profit on the backs of American workers, and is now operating overseas very unpatriotically, like other U.S. corporations, to be tax escapees. But they expect the government to give them the latest developments in science and technology, which have infiltrated themselves into Apple products. They expect all the public services that taxpayers pay for in this country, but they want to go to the Bahamas and Ireland and other tax havens and pile it up. In the meantime, they're not investing these huge profits, Cisco, Intel, Microsoft, Apple. They're not investing in this country. So you have this amazing situation where you have a recession, you have very high unemployment, you have high underemployment, and you've got huge capital reserves piling up, not being taxed, to be put back into building our public works and repairing America and creating jobs. And you got, you know, a rump Congress just basically curtsying to all this. So we got a real problem here. It's not too extreme to call our system of government now American fascism. It's the control of government by big business, which Franklin Delano Roosevelt defined in 1938 as fascism. And they control the government and turn the government to their favor, subsidies, handouts, giveaways, deferred prosecutions, non-prosecutions, and against the American people. And minimum wage is just one. You have full Medicare for all, which a majority of doctors and the American people want, with free choice of doctor and hospital. That's the only— we're the only Western country that doesn't have it. 800 Americans a week die because they cannot afford diagnosis and treatment for their ailments. That's 800 Americans a week, 45,000 a year. Who says so? A study is peer-reviewed out of Harvard Medical School. So we have the lowest minimum wage in the Western world. We have the greatest amount of consumer debt. We have the highest child poverty, the highest adult poverty, huge underemployment, a crumbling public works, but huge multi-billionaires and hugely profitable corporations. I say to the American people, what's your breaking point? When are you going to stop making excuses for yourself? When are you going to stop exaggerating these powers when you know you have the power in this country if you organize it? That's why I want people to go to timeforaraise.org, get the summons, fill out the names, and get the Congress people and the senators back in August.
Ralph, what do you think the U.S. government should do, President Obama, the Federal Reserve, to take on high unemployment?
Public works is obviously the best. I mean, we have trillions of dollars, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. It's not just bridges and highways. It's sewage and water systems. It's public buildings. It's dams. It's ports. It's community clinics, it's libraries. The country is running down. And when I say big corporations are running the U.S. Into the ground, that's part of the dismal picture. Now, that creates jobs that are good paying, they're decentralized in every community, and you can't export them to China. So that's what the government should do. But of course, if President Obama cannot defeat the worst, cruelest, most vicious, ignorant Republican Party in history and take over the Congress, instead he loses it in 2010 in the House, and he loses it in 2012 in the House, and he's going to lose it again in 2014 because he doesn't know how to take the Republican votes that are so cruel and vicious that have actually passed the House of Representatives and have been documented by the House Democratic Caucus and hurl it against them in the coming election. So what's he going to do the rest of his term if he's being run by Boehner and Cantor and McConnell, the Republican minority?
Ralph Nader, you wrote an open letter to President Obama, asking him to explain by what authority he's empowered to imprison prisoners indefinitely at Guantanamo Bay and kill people abroad with drone warfare.
Yeah, it's really quite clear. President Obama is a recidivist violator, systematically, day after day, of Constitution, of our statutes, and our international treaties. We still have torture. We still have indefinite imprisonment. We still have war crimes all over part of Asia and Africa, violating all kinds of laws. These wars have never been declared by Congress. We have indefinite imprisonment. They use the word detainee. Don't you like that word, detainee? You know, you're in Guantanamo for 9 years. You're still a detainee instead of a prisoner. And the press uses their language, too. So we sent him a letter with Bruce Fein, who now has started a group called the National Commission on the Misuse of Intelligence to Justify War. Lies, in other words, cover-ups. These are the people who should be on trial, not Bradley Manning. The people who lied in official Washington, Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz, who lied and caused the death of thousands of American soldiers and hundreds of thousands of American injuries. Those are the people who should be on trial. So this letter goes right to the core. Every time Obama tries to say he's doing this and that, he should give the constitutional, statutory, or treaty authority. And the press has not been holding his feet to the fire or his representatives. They should always ask, by what authority are you doing this, Mr. President, and by what evidence? By what authority and by what evidence?
Finally, in the last 10 seconds we have, Frank Lautenberg, the longtime senator from New Jersey, just died. Your thoughts?
Well, he has a marvelous record. You pointed out his record in environment and consumer. It's going to be a real loss.
I thought that was a pretty interesting clip I wanted to share with y'all. It was two parts. I had to actually get two parts of that clip. Never had the opportunity to read the book. Have heard of him plenty of times, though. I don't know how to say this, but like, a lot of people are obsessed with I guess wealth and royalty, right? Yeah, I'm gonna say that. So much so that people mimic it, right? Everyone wants to do what they do, stuff like that, right? See, like, for an example, when one person do something, the next person do it. You see, because it's like a status symbol. And see, I'm tearing around, but the Lord just gave me the way to say it, right? Okay. See, McDonald's is about to start making regulation changes, right? You don't think the rest of them are going to say the same thing? That's exactly what they're going to do. Now, whether it's true or not, I mean, how many other things have they said to people publicly? And then if you actually know someone that works for one of these corporations and they say, hey, that's not technically how it works. Or how it works is like this. You know, they start getting technical with you, right? But not even knowing that they themselves just got taken by the taker. See what I'm saying? It's called a manipulator. Right? It's just like early when I started off with that clip from CNBC. That was extremely important information. Right? Misinterpreted information, because they're talking about mortality. 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 While trying to seek a way to conquer immortality with unrighteous means. See what I'm saying? The NASDAQ is still up. It's still up. And the people that make this corona cure and the people that make t-shirts aren't the same people. But if you listen to that radio clip, or if you was listening to the news and you were trading based off what somebody told you, you would have thought one thing and got played another. See what I'm saying? I got this clip, right? No, it's not a clip. It's from Apple News. DARPA is launching its own low orbit internet network, Aikens, to SpaceX Starlink. So, SpaceX is the government. NASDAQ is a regulator. That's the reason why Microsoft bailed out Apple. Even if they weren't under the same umbrella at that time. They're both tech companies. They're in bed together. You see, it's just like a lot of insurance companies want you to merge your home and your auto insurance together because you'll get a cheaper rate. But what if I told you that if you had car insurance, most of the big car insurance players own the major salvage yards. Half of the cars that they sell total, they go and they get them cars, and they're not total. They just would rather total it out. They take those cars and they put them on container ships and they sell them to other countries. First off, when they buy the cars, like, the car lots, see, if that car company owns those cars, then they're paying, like, a lease for them cars until they sell them, right? That's why they want to move them. And then the ones that actually buy the cars because they know that they're going to move them, they're not buying them at the price that you're buying them at. They're buying them at a cheaper price. I'm talking about like the whole process of buying a car and getting it over here on a lot. They're going to make all that back when you buy it. There's a market for everything. But a lot of people don't understand marketing. They don't understand markets. They don't understand that business is government. And that's sad. Because every time you do business with a business, you're doing business with a government. That's why I'm glad to be doing business with the people that I'm doing business with. Because the people that I do business with, they believe in a righteous government. And that's what we're doing, people. Every time, see? Apple is a part of the agenda. Your whole life they've been telling you that the forbidden fruit is a see. The Lord said, come out of her, my children. Come out of her. You start to coming out of her when you start to know. Because the more you know, the more you can unravel. But yet they're all interconnected. You see, the dial ain't jumping because Gildan, the shirt company, G-I-L-D-A-N. No, they're jumping for joy today. Because of Gilead, the science company. But the way they played that in that audio clip early on, sure they're both having a good day today. One just in a different light than the other. So somebody gonna be counting a little bit extra more dough tonight, ain't that right? Move Out Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for tuning in and for joining the Controversy 7. Now, before I upload part 2 of a video which I had uploaded, before that video is uploaded, I thought it would be a great idea for me to have an interruption, a video that interrupts the second video before it is uploaded. Before it is uploaded, should I say. Why? It's for a reason. I'm addressing an issue which will be mentioned briefly in part 2. Very brief. And that issue has to do with the subject that I have mentioned to you before about country living. It seems that people hate the idea of country living. It seems that people either are for country living or they hate it. And they want, at which point they want to justify why they should remain in cities. Listen, let me be point blank with you. If you want to stay in cities, no one's going to stop you. Go ahead and stay in the cities. But do not, I repeat, do not complain when bad things begin to happen in the cities where you dwell in. Because you know what? Throughout the Bible, people have been called out of cities to go out into the wilderness. There are people who have said, we no longer live in the days of Abraham or in the days of Lot, in which you can just pick up your stuff and go and dwell in tabernacles of tents. Of course, we don't live in those days, but it does not mean that you should remain in Sodom and Gomorrah, because right now the cities are Sodom and Gomorrah. And for those who dwell in cities and do not wish to leave, just make sure you understand that the cities have become places of devil's dwellings. Here's what you have to understand. Country living is an essential teaching of Scripture. Noah himself, he was building an ark outside of the cities. You see, my friends, when Lot was called out of Sodom, Lot was actually vexed. His soul was tormented. He was vexed when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord had to come and pull him out before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God's people in these last days shall be called out of the cities to go into country living, because this will be the only way, the only place that you can be able to better worship God freely. This will be the only way that you will be able to avoid the distractions that the cities provide. Cities are full of distractions. Why are you trying so hard to keep yourself in the city, when you should be on your knees and asking the Lord to help you to open the way for you to be out in the country? What exactly does it really mean when I say that people should start talking about country living? What exactly am I implying? It seems that not many people understand what exactly it means to go out in the country. That's why people have messaged me with confusion. Let me clarify this. When I say that it's time for country living, I'm talking about being able to go into an area that is outside of the city. You need to dwell in homes outside of city, or should I say outside of city limits. That way, then you will not be influenced by the distractions, the disturbances, the problems, the cares of what goes on in cities. It doesn't mean forsake the cities and don't go in it. Of course, you can go into the cities to go and make your errands, to go and make purchases of some things, food and all those things, and you can go back to your place of dwelling. Simple. Here's the main key, all right? The main reason why I keep saying it's important to go out of the cities is because we can clearly see that the world is heading in such a direction in which the new norm is going to be people locked in their homes. Travel restrictions will be passed. They will go into effect. People will be restricted from traveling from one part of the city to the other. When you see these things begin to come to pass, why do you want to justify why you should stay in the cities? It doesn't make any sense. If anything, now is the time to liquidate. In fact, in part two of the video that I actually am going to be uploading, that video quickly, or just very, very, very quickly, I mention of a dream which the Lord gave to me. Now, all I will say is please, please use discernment. All I'm saying is that you please just take heed to that which I'm sharing with you. Because I'm not speaking of my own accord. I truly believe that this is a revelation that the Lord revealed to me, in which He told me clearly that people should start selling off their things. Sell the things that you do not need. It is time for us to become light travelers. It is time for us to become light travelers. What does that mean? Well, that means that we should not have anything that will hold us back from moving into the country. If you are worried about your bills, if you're worried about the mortgage, if you have a mortgage, guess what? The time will come when destruction is going to start coming into the cities. And when things begin to hit the fan within the cities, then there are going to be many people who are going to say, man, I need to get out from the city, but how am I going to do that because I have a mortgage? I should be leaving, but I can't because I'm tied down to this property of mine. I have a few places of investment in the city. Guess what? It's all going to vanish away. If you are a child of God, if you are a child of the Most High, you would truly use discernment. And you would look at the world around you. You would look at the cities. You would know for certain that things are not looking good. You would know for certain that morally speaking, the cities are immoral. You can look at things from the standpoint of morality, and you can clearly distinct that the world is not the same. You can clearly identify that everywhere distraction looms on every corner. So when distraction is all around you, the question is, why do you want to remain in the places of distraction? Now, let's be point blank again. There are many people, many who cannot afford to leave the cities. It's not about having money to be able to get out. You see, people, look, put the Lord your God on this. Do not think that you are responsible for your own future. You're not. Don't think that you are responsible for what comes here shortly hereafter. Your Heavenly Father knows what your needs are. Your Heavenly Father, He knows where you ought to be. So the best thing is, each of you, the viewers who are watching, you need to go on your knees and you need to pray to your Heavenly Father. You need to say, Lord, help me, give me power, give me strength to be able to overcome sin. Lord, help me to be able to get out from this situation that I'm at. Please, make way for me, Lord. Do you think that God Almighty will not make way for his people? If he had to send his angels to go and pull Lot and his family out from Sodom by force, do you think he's not going to pull you out? Here's the thing that you have to understand, my friends. The cities have become the places of dwellings of demons. Everywhere you look, there's distraction. Everywhere you look, pornography is everywhere. Everywhere you look, there are inappropriate ads. Witchcraft, the occult, it's everywhere. Why do you want to stay in the cities? Do you think that you can be a righteous person? Like, think about this. Think about this. Of course, we understand that it doesn't mean that if you leave the cities that you are going to be righteous. We understand that. I understand that. What I am saying is that when you truly are sincere and you want to follow the Lord your God, do not put yourself in a place where you know for certain that the devil is going to put so much temptations around you. So in other words, you are constantly being bombarded by temptations. That's what the cities are going to offer you. The cities are going to offer resistance to you. So it's only a matter of time. It's like, wait a second, I can't be in this place. We need to leave so that we can be closer drawn to our Heavenly Father. Also, at the same time, we need to leave the city so that we can be able to freely worship God without having any type of restrictions upon us. You know, my friends, God's people are going to be restricted from having home worship. You think persecution is still down the road? Persecution has arrived. Persecution has already arrived. It has begun in such a subtle way and not many people even picked it up. Check this out. Mark these words down. Soon and very soon, those of you that have home churches, I have a home church. I've been always inviting people to my house. You know, even with the whole lockdown thing, we had even more people come to our house. We've been worshiping, having home church. It only will take one phone call soon in which someone, your neighbor or somebody else, they will call the police and they will say, hey, my neighbors are posing risk to the rest of us here in the neighborhood. I believe they're having home church or home worship or home fellowship or something because there's more than 10 people in that house. Boom, police is going to come knocking on your door and they're going to say, are you the owner? Are you the one who's in charge here? Are you the one who's renting? Are you responsible for all this? Come with us. You're under arrest. These are the things that are going to come in the cities. You want to worship God freely? It's time to start asking the Lord to make the provisions for you. Now, here's what I will begin to say. For those of you who are looking for people of like minds, those that want to have like-minded friends or they want to unite to be able to at least have get-togethers and fellowship, please message me. This is time now to connect God's people. This is time now for God's people to be united and for them to come and fellowship together. And by fellowshipping together, maybe you, based upon what the Lord leads, maybe you might just find the right people who also are interested in country living and you may move together in the country. This is how it's going to work. You're not going to go by yourself. Find yourself a small group of people, just a handful, right? Like-minded people. Because obviously we want to be safe. Now, for those people who say that the Bible doesn't justify country living, why would Jesus himself say that when you see the abomination of desolation, that those who are in Judea, in the city, let them flee to the mountains? Think about this. Do you think that God wants you to go into the mountains to be a caveman? Do you think God wants you to be in a cave and go and be out like old school? Obviously, the time will come when God's people are going to flee into caves. The time will come when the threat will be so high that the government is going to search for you. The military is going to search for you, for the believers, for you and I. But God will be the one to secure us. God will be the one to protect us. So my friends, please, Jesus himself said that those who are in the cities are going to have to flee to the mountains. Many are going to have to flee out. When you begin to see the abomination of desolation. Well, guess what? When Rome came in 66 AD and they encompassed Jerusalem, they surrounded Jerusalem. Guess what happened? Shortly after that, they moved back. They withdrew. Those who were true believers, when they saw how Rome encompassed Jerusalem, they said, "Hey, I'm good, bro. I'm out." And they began to pack their bags. They took off running. They left Jerusalem. But there were others who stayed back. And what did they say? They said, "Well, you know what? Rome's not. Look at what Rome did, man. We're not gonna see any type of crisis. Look, the Romans came, they seized us, but they took off running, and we in fact chased the rest of them." So that's the foolish. The foolish then will then say, "Yeah, I'm not going anywhere because Rome's not gonna come back." Nope, not a second time. Guess what? They were wrong, because in the year 70 AD, Rome came once again. And what happened? They encompassed Jerusalem. And what happened? The gates were shut. No one could go in. No one could get out. People began to starve. And what happened? There was intense, massive bloodshed that took place. Children were killed brutally. Adults, elderly people, they were all brutally killed. That's what happened in 70 AD. Those that remained in the cities were destroyed. But the faithful few took off. We're seeing the same signs again. You have just seen the first wave of COVID-19. The first wave. And what did they say? Oh, lockdown. Everybody's being confined in their homes. And people began to panic. But then, just what happened in the spring is we're seeing right now. Well, now they're reopening the economy. They're reopening cities. People now are able to go and carry business as usual. Guess what? You think that everything's all solved, that everything's going to be good? Guess what? There's going to be a second wave. Just as there were two waves in the siege of Jerusalem, there also will be two waves to this. There will be two or three waves in terms of this virus. So what's going to happen in the second wave? Well, the new norm is going to be you're locked into your homes. No traveling. Travel restrictions are going to be high. And no home worship. Check this out. You who justify why you should stay in the cities and why you should not leave the cities now, or why you should not get ready to sell your things and prepare to get out. Those of you who are weighing yourself down with all the things that you do not need. The time will come when you're going to say, "Man, if only I had been given one more chance, I would pack my things and I would have gone to simply live in a small area that is just off of the city so that I can be able to at least be free to move." Soon they're going to say, "Nope, you got to close your windows. Nope, you gotta close your windows." You get it? Furthermore, 5G does not help the situation, because 5G depletes the oxygen from the air. It depletes oxygen from the air. So in your own neighborhoods, when you got 5G all over the place, guess what? No oxygen. Of course, there is some oxygen there. There's some air, but that oxygen is being depleted by 5G towers. Think about all these things. Why would you want to be in a place where there's 5G radiation all over the place, where the oxygen is being depleted? Why do you want to put yourself in that situation? But hey, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to me. All I will just say is that I clearly believe that now is the hour for people to start selling the things that they do not need. Whatever you don't need, please start making provisions and just sell the things that you do not need. Get rid of them. It is time to now become a light traveler. Only keep that which is necessary and that which you need. Do not have a weight that will hold you down. I truly pray that you receive this message. There will be a lot more that we'll talk about concerning country living. For now, this was a I guess this is a very long video response. This was supposed to be very short, but it turned out to be long. I'm not going to hold you off, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me. This is The Controversy 7. So stay tuned now for the part 2 of the video, which I am going to be uploading. All right? Thank you for joining me. You take good care of yourselves. Be blessed. Join me on Facebook. My Facebook is Emmanuel King. You can send me a friend request over there. The link will be in the video description box, or also it will be found in pinned in the comment section. Other than that, I'm not going to hold you off. You take good care of yourselves. Be blessed, be safe, and I will see you guys next time.
Appreciate that audio clip there. Controversy 7, yes sir. Hey fam, man. Internet is about to be free for everybody. Hey, I seen this other thing on the bottom of this. I got this from Input on the Apple News app. But if I scroll down on this article, and the name of this article right here is called DARPA is launching its own low orbit internet network Atkins to SpaceX Starlink. But on the bottom of this page, though, scroll down towards the bottom, it says the U.S. government can legally spy on your web activity. That's right. I mean, they could have did that back when Obama was president and he gave it away to the world, right? That's what they were telling us, but everybody like, oh, nah, man, this shit just make the world a better place. Well, fast forward 2020, is the world becoming a better place? I wonder why it is, since it's so goddamn great. You know, hey, man, hold up. Hand claps to all the idiots. That right. I said it. Yes, hand clap to all the idiots. Oh, nah, man, we just chill, keep having fun. Politics gonna take care of everything. So dumbass. It's crazy, man. It's real crazy. Speak like this because I love you. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. A person that love you gonna tell you some shit that you don't wanna hear. But they gonna tell you because they wanna see you do better. Cause they care about you, man. Yes, sir. I know there's a lot of people out there in the world that care about me. Just trying to go through my list right now, make sure I ain't got nothing else. You know what? We're an hour in. I ain't even going to hit y'all with that one, man. Then again, shit, let me see. Fuck, I ain't even going to tear. I'm going to miss y'all with that shit. Y'all don't need it. We're going to let y'all hear what the 90-year-old man had to say about the world and the government. How great they've been to us. You know what? I might just run it. Now that I said it, I actually want to hear my damn self. Yes, sir. I'm finna prep play on it, man. I'm finna prep play on it right now, y'all. I'm gonna be back. Move out radio.
How are you feeling?
Pretty good.
I brought you some groceries, some stuff that'll last a week. It'll last 10 years if it needs to. Some sardines, stuff like that.
You must think I'm not going to get sick.
You're not. Well, are you worried about that?
No, I never get sick.
Not worried about this?
Mm-mm.
You're the one guy I know that might have, like, amazing perspective. Because what happened to you when you were about 8 years old?
Well, I had the flu, but it was back east someplace. And I was 8 years old. And the place where I was at caught on fire. So, but there's 25,000 people died in New York with the other flu, you know, that World War II flu.
So watching the news, seeing what America's going through, what the world's going through, and how we're reacting to this pandemic, how does that compare to the flu of 1918?
Well, they got smart, getting the people to stay home, not get too many people together. That's real smart, and that really helps. Because this is a pretty dangerous deal you got.
In 1918, do you remember any kind of messaging from the government or otherwise telling you to stay
they
at home?
They couldn't build the coffins fast enough. They just built them out of wood, you know, pine butt. There was 25,000 people died in New York, and there's 20,000 in Pennsylvania. There's lots of people died in that.
I know you were just 8 years old, but what do you remember during that time? What were you feeling? What was your family thinking?
Well, there was only two in the family then, and we all had the flu. Everybody had the flu, and it was real dangerous. And they still had that old flu.
Did you get that flu?
I had it when I was 8 years old.
At that, during that time?
I think so.
Curly, can you list all the things that you've survived so far?
Well, that'd take quite a list. Even in the rodeo, you can get killed on them broncs and bulls and stuff like that. I was in that for a while, you know, doing rodeo work.
Talk about all the things that you survived during World War II.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. In the islands, went ashore, you know, there's people shot on both sides, ships getting sunk. I went to get in my ship one day, my airplane, with my pilot, and I was walking down the deck, the flight deck. There was arms, legs, bodies all over the deck. We had to get in the plane to bomb them to keep from getting sunk. So there's lots and lots of things happen.
So, Curly, this thing will pass. What are you doing to make sure you see 107?
Well, I'm shooting for 120.
What goes through your mind when you watch TV? Tell me the stuff you've seen and your reaction to it.
Well, the TV to me now is a lot different than it used to be, you know. It used to be mostly all Westerns, you know. And Tom Mix, Hoop Gibson, Buck Jones, all them old actors, you know.
What goes through your mind when you watch the news now and you see how the world's reacting to this?
What
are you seeing and how do you feel about it?
Well, when you go out and get in your car, press a button and it starts. We used to have to crank them. We'd whisper to them, please start.
What are your thoughts on people getting up all the antibacterial products and people buying up in bulk all of the toilet paper?
Well, we used to have Sears and Buck's catalog years ago. But the only thing about them, you know, they had the little outhouses out in the back. And that Sears and Buck catalog was thick, but it had some slick pages in it. You had to be careful in the page you used.
So we better be careful, and we're going back to that?
Yeah. I don't think they had that toilet paper back then.
What are you doing to stay safe and sane during this time?
Oh, well, not too much. I don't drink as much as I used to. That's a bad deal.
Me either. Same, I picked a bad time to give up drinking. Yeah. Curly, you're one of the oldest, wisest people I know. What advice do you give the rest of us?
Well, the only thing I can say is do what you can do with what you got. That's all you can do. You was born with what you got, so you just got to walk with it and run with it. And the main thing is women, to be awful careful.
You want to protect the ladies?
Yes, sir. And...
all right.
Be good to the ladies.
Oh, wait, one last question, Curly. When we look at the economy right now, we don't know how bad it's going to get, but you're one of the few people I know that went through the Great Depression as an adult.
Yeah.
What advice do you have us about for that?
Well, all you could do is just work. You go out in the fields, cotton fields, any place you get a job, and you work as, you know, if you got $5 a day, that was big money.
What do you remember about the Great Depression?
Oh, I remember you could get gas 10 cents a gallon, bread 10 cents, milk 10 cents, but you couldn't get the dame. They had a song out, Mister, Can You Spare a Dame?
What were you doing during the Great Depression?
Well, they wrote another song out. It said, standing on the corner and watching the girls go by.
Boy Curly said he used to stand on the corner and watch the girl go by. You're right, he ain't had no money in his pocket. Granddaddy told me, boy, you'll lose a lot of money chasing women. to another little woman chasing money. You know? That's just an old nigga thing. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole nother thing within itself. Check it out, fam. Ah. War. See what I'm saying? That's what it is. Just know that you know. What you don't know, look into it. Don't guesstimate. Because when you guesstimate, you taking food off your plate. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't got no food on your plate, and it's hard to get food, man, who are you to ask somebody else for some food? That's how you make enemies at war, bro. I'm just saying. Other than that, the Lord said that he gonna make a way for us. You know? What did he say? Our Father without in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, give us this what? And forgive us our as we forgive. Okay then, that's what it is. It is what it is. You can't be forgiven if you don't forgive. It's forgiven, bro. You know what I'm saying? The Lord said he gonna provide every day. You ain't gotta worry about it. Man, I remember one time I was young. It was about 12 years ago. I remember being on a bus and it was this, like, this young lady. She's about my age. Seen her a lot. And I was like, man, you know, I knew her, talked to her a lot. Went up and I asked her one day, I said, what's your dream house? You know, like, that's what I just ask people. Like, I'm just trying to get into your mind. Like, what are one of your dreams? And I'm gonna be particular with it. What is your dream house? Shouted looked at me. She said, you know, I'm simple. She said, I want to live in a cave. I looked at her like she crazy as hell. You know? That was 12 years ago. I say big shots out, queen, because you knew what you were talking about. Even when I did. So, you know, but it be like that sometimes. I'm just glad that I was able to renew my mind in enough time. Well, I ain't losing. Because a lot of people lost. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But hey, with that, man, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to close this one out. Let's thank the Lord for the day, the moment, and the hour. For without him, we are nothing. But with him, we are everything. But we are Yahweh Shai. Till next time, blessed fam. Muwat Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today's top story. Yeah, we're going to take a look at role of government, exactly what the government does to support business. So make sure you get your notes, you follow the Storm philosophy, sit back and enjoy. All right, so today we're going to take a look at the government, really break them down into the different levels of government so we understand exactly their roles at each of these different levels. Then we're going to look at the major roles that government have in terms of business operations. All right, so with every country, or I should say most countries, there are three levels of government: federal, provincial, and municipal. Each of these levels have different roles and responsibilities. For example, federal in Canada is in charge of criminal law, whereas provincial, property and civil rights, and municipal is water, sewage, and so on and so forth. All three levels of government really work together to really provide the economic functions, right? Public facilities and services, public well-being, regulating economic activity, and ensuring economic stability. How they do this is through the various roles that government provide. So the first role is the idea of permission. Most businesses and most countries, businesses need to register with the government to operate. Corporations need a charter. Other forms of businesses, like limited liability companies or partnerships, need other forms of registration. The function of this registration usually is to define the financial liability of the owners. It's to limit their risk. It's also to allow the government to monitor companies so that they can ensure that the businesses are thriving and succeeding. In Canada, a business owner needs to follow government regulations, and this includes completing the paperwork necessary to register the business. After registering with the Canadian Revenue Agency, the business will receive a registration number, HST number for taxation, corporate income tax account, import-export account, payroll deduction information, and a variety of other support services. In other countries, for example, in China, you need to go through 13 levels of government to comply with the request. So it's a little bit more difficult in other countries than it is in Canada. And some people say that Canada has quite the paperwork to fill out.
So with legal, this is where we're talking about laws and regulatory enforcement. So businesses provide contracts with other businesses, and these could be very difficult to understand, very complex. When two businesses merge, for example, there's a number of different things that needs to be ironed out. It's not so simple, like warranties on various things need to be ironed out. So the government needs to enforce these contracts, and they need to make sure that they are legally binding. So the courts need to step in at times to do this. Sometimes oral agreements are also difficult to understand. On various things need to be ironed out. So the government needs to enforce these contracts, and they need to make sure that they are legally binding. So the courts need to step in at times to do this. Sometimes oral agreements are also difficult to understand, but the government needs to also support these at times, even though written agreements definitely is the easiest one to enforce. But this is where the government needs to really support businesses and iron out any difficulties through the contracts, through disputing these contracts. They also provide a number of regulatory frameworks in place for businesses to operate in, and these need to be enforced and ensured that the businesses are operating within the parameters that they set out. So next is consumer protection. Now, unfortunately, not all businesses act in accordance of the law, for example, or even just are upstanding, and so sometimes the government needs to step in and ensure that the consumer is protected, that they are safe, that the products that they're purchasing is safe and not going to harm them in any way. They also need to ensure that the consumer has guarantees, and that the seller, the business, if they fail to honor that guarantee, then the consumer has recourse through governmental avenues. And again, the other idea is when the consumer is purchasing a product, that they are provided with the full information necessary to make the purchase a way that makes sense to them, right? So when they're purchasing food, for example, they want to make sure they have all the nutritional content on the packaging. And in Canada, we have quite the amount of information on this packaging because the government has stepped in and said this, how much information we need. So just like the government needs to protect consumers, they also need to ensure and protect employees. And employees need to be provided with the legal framework and government protection for their occupational health and safety. And so government has a branch of government that oversees this and ensures that all employee locations, so all workplaces, have certain standards in place so that employees are protected, they feel safe, they feel secure. The other one here is the idea of hiring, right? So that employers can't hire based on anything they think is valid, that they actually have to follow certain procedures and that there's equal opportunity for all. And so employees, not just the ones working in the business, but potential employees are protected. Next is environmental protection. Now, this is where the government needs to step in and provide the, again, regulatory framework that pollution does not become such a huge issue. It is already an issue, but not such a huge issue, and tries to overcome this. Again, unfortunately, through interactions
that's why it's so important, amen, to not only hear the word, but also be a doer of the word. Because as we begin to do the word, we begin to experience the word.
We going to war. I'm keeping the armor on. We going to war. As soon as you're on at home, we going to war. The spiritual army strong. We going to war. Because Jesus is on the throne. We going to war. Keeping the armor on, we going to war. As soon as you're on the home, we going to war. The spiritual army strong, we going to war.
It's straight A,
cause Jesus is on the throne.
Hey, Jesus is on the throne, and I got his armor on. I'm in the heavenlies, up in my father's zone. Your only goal should be to be your father's clone. So keep your body holy, cause it is your father's home.
The helmet will guard your dome. His sword is real strong, so sharp it appears through the bone. I can't do nothing on my own. A lot I cannot condone. I can feel this fire in me. I'm hot like the pot is on. If you can't stand the heat, go get a fan. He holding us up with his righteous right hand. A spirit it quicken, quicker than sand. Now we are sealed with a heavenly brand. Pleading the blood again and again. Canceling all the enemy's plans. We are an army taking a stand. We are an army taking a stand. It's not a game, boy, but we are advanced. The devil big man. We stumping his head. Capture his land. Take down his flag. Boast on the Lord. On me, I can't brag. God is sovereign. Ain't nothing you can have. Commune with my brothers. Breaking the bread. Plowing the hearts. Breaking through bad. Sowing the word. Raising the dead.
We going to war. I'm keeping the armor on. We going to war. As soon as your honor home. We going to war. The spiritual army strong. We going to war. Cause Jesus is on the throne. We going to war. I'm keeping the armor. Jacob, I be riding for him. We are in his body, though a body we reside in one. If you don't got a Bible, better hurry up and find you one. In order to survive, you must know God when the fire comes. Born in the womb, but most of y'all are gonna die in one. Perish due to lack of knowledge, knowledge of the highest one. Holy Ghost stand in his commandments, I delight in them. My lamp is full of oil, and all my brothers, I see light in them. Every seed, I'm finna sow. We are like trees, we gotta grow. This is the ark, this ain't a boat. As long as we save, we gonna float. He gave up his life, then he gave up the ghost. I'm telling you, wisdom is better than gold. The day that we live in here, nobody knows. The only thing known is God in control.
We going to war.
I'm keeping the armor on.
We going to war.
As soon as your honor home.
We going to war.
The spiritual army strong.
We going to war.
Cause Jesus is on the throne.
We going to war.
I'm keeping the armor.
Understand him more clearly. See, that's the difference between just having head knowledge and having experiential knowledge, meaning you're experiencing God. You don't just have head knowledge, but you actually know God. You're intimate with God in your suffering and in your prayer time.
Hey fam, before I blow the horn real quick, that last clip that I played, I made a mistake and cut it off early. It was just generic business that was telling you what business do. You know, you could pretty much just go online, look it up for your local area and see what they do. The reason why I played it is because that's what they're supposed to do. But if you go outside, you know. But, hey, once again, Move Out Radio. Peace, blessing, and love to everybody. Until next time, one.